Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. And it's Friday, March 24th. It's Fighting Friday. Fighting Friday. We got a UFC card tomorrow. It's a 4 p.m. Eastern start time. We got 12 fights. They're in San Antonio in front of a live crowd. San Antonio ain't getting a very good card, though, but we'll be playing it. We'll be playing it for DFS. Hit that thumbs up button. Smash the like button. Smash the subscribe button. Smash the notification bell. Smash your screen. Smash whatever you want. Helps us out a lot. There's free content here. If you want the breakdown of all the fights for tomorrow, you got to sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. You got the Ground and Pound podcast. They talk over an hour. Liam and Mike breaking down all the fights, as well as the expert survey, the projections, the ownership, which should be updated. We don't have the updated ownership from the Cohen Vidal fight was scrapped yesterday. The mid-range women's fight. So there's 12 fights in the card now. So get the updated version of the projections later. Sign up for Lineup HQ. It's a good slate for GPPs. Great slate for GPPs. We haven't had one of these types of cards in a while, right? We really haven't, where you can play anyone. It's a play whoever you want slate. Play whoever you want. I love the play whoever you want slates. But whenever we break down the MMA cards, of course, when it comes to lineup construction, we're focusing primarily on GPPs, or large field ones, especially. What is the context of the slate? You should always be thinking about that. First off, what is the nut lineup more or less likely to look like? Okay? On larger cards, obviously there's more fighters, more opportunities for fighters to put up a lot of points. Smaller cards, There's less fighters to choose from, less opportunities to put up 100 plus points. So on the larger cards, you focus much more heavily on ceiling. On the smaller cards, you could focus a lot more on just win equity, on just getting fighters that getting six winning fighters into your lineup. That's more likely to be the nut lineup than one where you're just aiming for the highest possible scores. And then we also look at the spread of the fights. How big are the favorites versus the underdogs? And on this slate, we have 12 fights. So that's kind of like in the middle of kind of like how big the card is, right? It's not 15, but it's not 10, right? So kind of somewhere in the middle. So this is a card where can a 90 point underdog be in the nut lineup? Yes, it can. Can it get an 85 point like dog be in the nut lineup? It's possible also. So like if you're looking especially at the underdogs, like win equity goes up in a little bit of a points. Fortunately on this card, everyone has win equity because we take a look at the odds on my spreadsheet. None of the fighters are more than 3-1 favorites. None of them. Okay. It's not like these past some of these pay-per-view cards where the most expensive fighter is minus 600. Then the second most expensive is minus 500. And then like all the 9K fighters are like minus 350 or better. And then you don't get a pick'em fight until like the mid range. Like all these fights are close enough. The biggest favorite currently is Tucker Lutz, minus 280 at 9,200. But I mean, we've had cards where the minus 280 fighter was like 8,600, right? Those are the cards where the favorites are much bigger favorites. It's less likely to see underdogs win. And the nut lineup is more likely to be like close to 50K. This card, it's quite possible half the underdogs win. I mean, if you take a look at these lines, I mean, Manal Kapp is 8,900. He's minus 180. Chidi and Jukwani, 8,800, minus 150. Steven Peterson, minus 155. I mean, even the mid-range, Manuel Torres, minus 145. I mean, the cheapest fighter is plus 170 to win, right? Nate Lindner is the most expensive fighter. He's only minus 200. He's a 2-1 favorite as $9,400 fighter. So we may see a good amount of underdogs win. And the more underdogs win, the more and more likely that the nut lineup leaves more money on the table. It's not necessarily a 50K lineup or a 49.9 lineup. The ones that spend the most salary have the most win equity. But if we take a look at these inside the distance lines, I mean, outside of really the women's fights, the two women's fights are on the docket. Like these inside the distance lines, I mean, dude, we may see four or five first round finishes tomorrow. I mean, take a look at you got in the favorites, you got like Landwehr plus 130, Vergara minus 160, Kopp plus 125, Chidi plus 110, Peterson plus 185, Manuel Torres plus 120, Salvador plus 165. Trevin Giles plus 160. And then the underdogs, it's like, even like Daniel De Silva at 6,900 plus 255 to win inside the distance. Not just to win inside the distance. It's 28% implied probability. Right? Lucas Alexander, 23% chance of winning inside the distance. I mean, like, even the underdogs have good ITD law. And good win equity. I mean, some of these dogs have a 40% chance, 39% chance, 30% chance. These dogs are going to be lower owned than that. I mean, like the win equity versus their probability, they're going to be lower owned then. And then we're going to get some condensed ownership in some of the mid-range on probably two high-end, two mid-range, and one underdog. So, like, avoiding that construction is gonna be useful. But I mean, leaving 1,000 on the table is not out of the question at all. And another thing about this card is that there aren't many like grapplers, pure grapplers on this card, right? Where, okay, they don't get a finish, but they still score 120 points. right? Where like, oh, the ITD line isn't very good, but six takedowns, 12 minutes of control time, 180 ground strikes, like that type of thing. Like that there aren't really, there's not much here when it comes to that. I mean, we have like, maybe Duraev is the closest to that. And he's kind of old. And Chidi Njigirakwani is actually like, he's gotten like, I think he has a BJJ black belt now. I don't think Chidi Njigirakwani is going to try to take Albert Duraev down. But so, I mean, these fighters aren't good. Let me preface a lot of this. These fight, no one on this card is good. The main event is Sanhagen versus Vera. I think they're above average quality fighters, right? These are title contender fighters. Most likely that fight goes the distance. I mean, that's a volume fight. Do you have to play the main event in GPPs? No. But at this price point, 8,600, 7,600, likely to go five rounds. I mean, these are high floors. And on a slate where you may not see that many high grappling scores, and if the first round finishers don't happen as much as we think, I mean, Corey Sanhagen putting up 105 points in a win at 8,600, that could be the nut lineup. Vera putting up 90 in a win could be a nut. I mean, it's probably more likely that Sanhagen wins via decision and Vera wins via inside the distance based on their fighting styles. But it's like getting 90 points out of some of these fighters may be fine. A second round knockout, 96 points at like in the high eights or low nine. I mean, Nate Landwehr could put up 98 points. That's the most expensive fighter and be a top six fighter on the slate. It could happen. The lineups that you could make on this slate are like some of the most vast you can make on most slates that we've played so far this year. These fighters aren't good. These are fighters that, like, look, we take a look. Nate Landwehr is 9,400. Previous fights, he was one of the, like, the mid 7K underdogs. CG Vergara was like a 7K fighter in his last fight. Vinicius Salvador was like one of the cheapest fighters in his debut. Right, we take a look at this, like this is pretty low-level MMA. That's why I said San Antonio ain't getting a very good card. It may be an exciting card, though. It may be exciting to watch. But as far as the quality of fighter, I think it's quite suspect. A lot of these people are on their way out of the UFC, or this is their last shot at staying in the UFC. But because of that, because, like, everyone's in play, most are untrustworthy. These are very high variance fighters. And the inside the distance lines are good. Like, dude, knockouts are going to happen. Who knows? So the variance goes up much more tremendously. So embracing the variance on this slate, I think, is much more important than any other slate. Then when we take a look at ownership, I mean, a lot. I mean, if you're going to play like cash games or like, I think popular lineup construction is going to look something like playing Vergara, Lutz, Torres, Vera. We got 7,700. Maybe Duraev or Perez against Kopp. I could see that maybe. Let's say, what can we fit in? 8,100. Yeah, something like this. May something Vergara, Lutz, Torres, Vera, Perez, Parsons. Could be. I mean, I think if you're building like a cash lineup, I think like most likely it's gonna look something like this, I guess, with Lingo in there, even as well. I think this is the optimal. I think this is actually our projected optimal. Vergara, Lutz, Torres, Vera, Sanhagen, Lingo. Right? If I press the optimal, I based on our current projections. No, it's literal. It's like, look, I didn't even bother using the median projections, which I don't really care that much about in MMA. And yeah, I already got to like what most likely the cash lineup will kind of look like, or a popular, like this lineup will be, I mean, stacking the main event. I think people overstack them, and you'll find too many lineups that stack the main event. Although this is the type of slate with the this is the type of five round fight that maybe the main event, maybe Vera puts up enough points to be in the optimal. But I think it's more likely that if you fight stack, it would be on a slate where very few underdogs win, where Vera's losing score beats out most of the other underdogs. I don't think this is that type of slate. I think everyone's in play. Like literally everyone is in play. Oh, the cheapest fighter, Austin Lingo. Can't play him. No, I wouldn't X him out. Have you seen Nate Landwehr fight? He comes forward with his hands down. I mean, like, do I think Nate Landwehr is going to beat Austin Lingo? Yeah, I mean, he's the favorite. He's a 2-1 favorite. Can this turn into a brawl? Yes, and in a brawl, like, anything could happen. Austin Lingo has no takedown defense, but Nate Landwehr isn't really much of a grappler. He can go to the ground. But this fight could easily just be a brawl on the field. I mean, a lot of these fights are going to be, like, feel like they're going to be brawls. Like, non-technical. I mean, some of the fights, actually, you don't want, like, the ones you want to avoid are the ones that aren't brawls. Like, I think something like Manel Kopp versus Alex Perez. Kopp isn't like a high-volume guy. Can he knock out Alex Perez? Absolutely. But other than that, Trevin Giles doesn't, he's one step above, like William Knight. Trevin Giles stands there and throws one strike at a time every couple of hours, right? Every time he feels like it, he'll just stand there. Can he knock out Preston Parsons? Sure, of course. But I mean, you have a very, very small path to get to 100 points with Trevin Giles. He just doesn't throw enough volume. But any of these guys could get knocked out, like on the entire slate, like, I mean, outside of, I guess the women's fights, but those could be sneaky fights also. I think Macy Barber and Holly Holm are going to be underowned. And of course, we've seen in women's MMA, like a lot of times that spreads are still too wide. Can Yana Santos or Andrea Lee win? Yeah. The question is how much do they score when they do win? It's like, this is not the type of slate where it's a little bit smaller, right? 12 fights. And it's like, oh, I think a lot of favorites are going to win. And if I get like Yana Santos to win a decision against Holly Holm for 76 points, she could be in the optimal lineup. Or Andrea Lee getting a split decision, the 70-point win against Macy Barber to be in the, like, the nut lineup. Like, I think there's going to be multiple underdogs that win. And in all the other fighters, in their win conditions, probably put up way more than 70 points. So I'm less interested in the women's underdogs. I'm more interested in the women's favorites, even though they will burn. I mean, these are the types of things that they'll burn you, right? If you played like Casey O'Neill last week, yeah, that's women's favorites. But sometimes they put up 140 points. And especially the way that they count strikes for women's fights, like you could tell they count them differently than for the men's fights. Like this little thing is a significant strike in the women's fights, but not in a men's fight. And also, you have to realize Holly Holm isn't like a complete boxer anymore. She does wrestle now. I mean, she's old, right? She's faced way better competition than Yana Kunitskaya or Yana Santos now. Can Holly Holm win a 3-round decision where she has 3 takedowns and 12 minutes of control time and puts up 115 points? I mean, it's possible. It's possible. So, like, I don't want to rule that out. I mean, everyone is in play. And I think people are going to gravitate and act as if it's not. I think based on my odd sheet right here, the best fight on the slate to target is CJ Vergara versus Daniel Da Silva. It's the fight most likely to end inside the distance. Daniel Da Silva or Daniel Lacerda. He's a one round one. I mean, he's like goes balls to the wall for one round and then dies. He's not very good, but he's very wild. He's gotten knocked out or submitted or TKO'd in the past, what, three fights? Probably fighting for his job. CJ Vergara is not like a technical guy. CJ Vergara is minus 160. He's the best inside the distance line on the entire slate. I don't know. I don't think that has that much to do with CJ Vergara being a world beater. I think it's more the fact that Daniel Da Silva just dies. Right? CJ Vergara is just a tough guy. Like if you told me, like, describe CJ Vergara as a fighter. It's like, I don't know. He's tough and he throws punches. Like, well, is he a good grappler? No. It's like, is he a good submission wrestler? No. Is he a technical striker? No. Does he have good submission defense? No. Does he have good striking defense? Yeah, his chin. He could take some punches. Like, but actual defense, probably not.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So it's not like CJ Vergara is a good fighter. So to me, if CJ Vergara is going to be like 40% owned, and Daniel Da Silva is going to be like 10, 12% owned, and Daniel Da Silva has a plus 255 inside the distance line, I'm going to be playing some Daniel Da Silva. I'm going to be playing that as leverage. Because more people will be playing Lingo against Landwehr than they will Da Silva against Vergara. I think more people will play Pineda against Lutz. Although I'm not saying a lot of people are going to play Pineda. Pineda's just old. I mean, Pineda's path to victory is to getting Tucker Lutz to the ground in the first round. And if he doesn't do that, he's dead. Daniel Pineda is what, 37 years old? Does he have the cardio to go more than 5 minutes? Ugh, I doubt it. Is Tucker Lutz good? No, none of these fighters are good. None of these guys are good. But I'd much rather Tucker Lutz is going to be popular also. Can you take a shot at Daniel Pineda? Sure. Remember what I said in the beginning. You could play, like, this is a play whoever you want. If you have a reason to play anyone. Nothing's out of the question. Leaving $1,000 on the table, not out of the question at all. It's quite possible my lineups are going to leave money on the table. I think the 50K lineups are going to be overowned this slate. And because there's only 12 fights, you're going to find less of them that are less duplicated. It's not like we've had these 14, 15 fight cards where you can find 49, 8, 49, 9, and 50K lineups that are duplicated, are unique or duplicated like under five times. On this 12 fight card, I don't know how many, and I don't know if you're going to find that many lineups that are 50K that are like under fives. I think it's much more likely that you leave 500 on the table. I mean, it depends on the lineup. I may play some 49-9 lineups. I may play some 49-2 lineups. But it's from an over-owned and under-owned perspective. As of the current moment, I have Vergara under, I have him as 40, I mean, RG, we have him at 41% owned. Based on his inside the distance line, he's under-owned. But Daniel Da Silva is also under-owned. So, I mean, that fight is under-owned. Based on our ownership projections currently. I also have Preston Parsons underowned at 17%, but I maybe 20, more like 20%. I got Giannis Santos that's slightly underowned at 6%, depending on, you know, you bump her ownership up to 8% and that's about efficient. So it's not like she's like drastically underowned. Who else? Albert Duraev at 19% underowned. But yeah, you bump him up to like 24%, that's about efficient. So not like dramatic. Corey Sandhagen at 42%, I've a little bit underowned. Just from a pure volume perspective. But you bump them up to 46, 47%, that's about efficient. Like, there's not, that based on the RG ownership currently, there aren't that dramatic discrepancies. Even Daniel De Silva, like, if I bump Daniel De Silva up to, like 16% owned, he's about efficient, right? So at 11, he's underowned, and at 18, he's about efficiently owned. So it's not like that it's not that dramatic. Ownership seems decently enough efficient. It just comes down to combinatorics of like grouping out. Like what I would be doing most likely based on this ownership is grouping out, like going into lineup HQ, or if you're hand building, whatever, and just grouping out like Vergara, Lutz, Torres, Sanhagen, Vera. No, Vera. Where's Vera? Come on. Right? Maybe like max two. If you want to get real unique, max one. But I think max two is doable, right? Place Sanhagen, Lutz, and then fill out the rest of your line, but don't have Vergara or Torres in there. You play Torres, Vergara, you don't have Lutz. You don't. Yeah, you could do two. But I think this slate is wide open enough that combinatorically, I want to avoid a lot of duplication that way. Because the lineup shouldn't be that condensed. Like this ownership on the slate, dude, it's 24 fighters and they all have a shot at winning. Look at the lines. Look at the betting lines. You could tell me for sure, oh, this guy's going to win. I know. The ceilings on the women's underdogs are lower, though. But it's MMA. You never know, right? Or just an injury, right? So you know, just like that last week with Todorovic. Was that the week before? I have no idea. What? Had a bunch of him and then like breaks his knee or something, whatever. He twists his leg. Done. Oh, well. That could happen. IO22 says, I like Chidi on DK at 8,800. I think he gets a round one finish and puts up a huge score. You know the beauty of DFS? When you play DFS correctly or well, profitably, so you don't have to think about results at all. Chidi Njigwani is 48% chance of winning inside the distance on the current line. 31% in the first round. He's only a 60% favorite. What do I think? It's just like I'm just comparing these numbers to the ownership. That's it. That's the game that we're playing. I'm not trying to handicap the fights. I know about the fighters because I listen to the Grounded Pound podcast. Which you get as a Roto Grinders premium member, you get all the sports. Combo Premium, you get NBA, MLB, that's coming back in 6 days. Get your projections, get your ownership, get the million dollar musings. Cheese writes like a 10,000 word article every day. Get the expert surveys, get the rankings, get that. We got so much baseball stuff. It's ridiculous. We have college basketball, March Madness, college basketball, college football when that comes back, PGA, everything. So I don't need to break down the fights. I just need to know that, okay, yeah, the inside the distance line is X, but what type of fighter are they? That's why I have this like this number over here. That kind of balance, the projection and the, like kind of ceiling-ish type of stuff to kind of balance out, you know. Well, these fighters may not win inside the distance, like Marab. Like Merab is like the number one outlier of why I need to factor in some amount of median and ceiling projection into my sheet. Because Merab will always be like plus 700 inside the distance and then still put up 100 million points in three rounds. And now I just see on Twitter, oh, the slate's going to be even smaller. It's going to be smaller now. Why? This always happens. Oh, I hate this. The Manuel Torres, okay, Torres versus Ogden is off. Okie doke. So there goes a chalk piece, right? Manuel Torres was going to be chalky. And that's another mid-range fight that's out. So that means it's just now we're going to get more Sanhagen ownership. We're going to get more Peterson ownership, right? Because Torres is 8,500. So where does that go? Go to Sanhagen, go to Peterson. Maybe some comes down to like Preston Parsons. Get some more Vinicius Salvador. Yeah. Yep. Torres had medical issues at the weigh-ins. So now we're down to 11 fights. So now we're getting to the small. Now we're getting towards the smaller. Now we're getting smaller. You know who's value? Okay, here's a quick quiz. We lost one fight. Which fighters gain more value? Out of what we talked about, what I talked about. Now that we've lost a fight, now we're down to 11 fights. What fighters have gained more value? I'm not saying that they're highly valuable, but what fighters have gained more value now that we only have 11 fights? Remember what we did in the beginning. Go over the context of the slate, the two main things that matter, slate size and the spread of the fights. So now that we lost another fight, that we're down to 11, what fighters have gained value? If you could put them in the YouTube chat, feel free to do so. What happens as the slate size gets lower, gets smaller and smaller? When it gets larger and larger, there's more opportunities for fighters to score 100-plus points, right? 15-fight card, like if you had to choose between like, oh, between like underdogs or whatever, it's like, yeah, I don't care who wins. I just care who wins and also puts up 100 points. As the fight gets smaller, I care more and more about who wins and that less likely about the who wins and puts up 100 points. So what fighters go up in value now? Will be those women's fighters. Andrea Lee and Yana Santos. As well as, I guess, Macy Barber and Holly Holm. Because now there were 11 fights, win equity becomes a little bit more important. Does it mean that they're the greatest players now? No, that's not the point that I was making. They go up in value. They had low value to begin with. Now they go up in value. Now they're still low value, but they're a little bit more viable. Right? On a card where even on this close spread of the fights, that we only have two underdogs that win. If only two underdogs that win and one of them is Santos or Lee, they're going to be in the optimal lineup, probably. Right? If three underdogs win, then one of them won't be. This is the type of slate where more underdogs could win. But now we've also lost the fight. Now that there's only 22 fighters on the card, if Macy Barber puts up 96 points for 9,100, that's more likely to be optimal because there's two less fighters that could beat her out. Does that mean that she isn't? No. It's just a little bit more likely. Less fighters to compete against. Okay, so we got to redo ownership again, right? Because we're going to be losing what? We're going to be losing a lot of ownership. Ogden was going to be like 30. Yeah, we have the allocated like 55% ownership to other people now. So we'll be updating this. Moneyball will be updating this later today. So you'll get the new ownership projections. New fighter projections, new everything. So go sign up for RotoGrinders Premium. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. Also, we now have a crunch time show for UFC, for the MMA events. So we'll be here before lock Typically, it's Mike, H3 Bluda, and Drew Matthews, Red Kachik. 45 minutes before slate lock. But Drew is out, so I'll be on the show. So I'll be on tomorrow. They're getting me on a Saturday, my day off. Right? There's no soccer though, so I don't have to worry about it. So it's whatever. I'll have all my lineups done before 3:15 Eastern tomorrow anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. Especially on an 11 fight card now. So tune in tomorrow, I think 3:15, 45 minutes before slate lock time. They may move. They actually may actually be a 4:30 start time by the time we talk about it. So I don't know. Check out the thumbnail. You'll see it on YouTube. You'll see it. So it'll be me and Mike talk about the slate. I'll probably mention a lot of the stuff that I already mentioned now. I mean, this is pretty much how I play. And Mike maybe Mike has a hot take, right? Right? His whole, you know, when Grasso beat Shevchenko, he won a ton of money. So maybe we get a Mike hot take or something like that. Do I care? No, probably not. So I don't live in the land of hot takes, but maybe you'll get some. Because if I had a hot take, it would be like Daniel Da Silva. But like has nothing. If you told me Daniel Da Silva was 30% owned, I would never play. So it has nothing to do with me predicting the outcome of a fight. Just that I think he's going to be under-owned. And he's facing one of the most owned fighters on the slate. He could put up 100 points and he's direct leverage against a $9,300 fighter that's going to be popular. You tell me it's the other way around, then I play CJ Vergara. So it's not about what do I think is going to happen in the fight. It has nothing to do with that. So tune in tomorrow. Give me those thumbs ups on your way out the door. Hit the like button. Smash it. Punch the like button. Punch the subscribe button. Hit it. Smash it. Headbutt it. Not illegally. Nutshot it. Nutshot the like button. Nutshot it. Nutshot. Hit it whatever way you want. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to always know when we go live here on the channel. Go subscribe to the Scores and Odds YouTube channel if you want the betting stuff from our sister site. We got MLB next week, right? Submit your MLB questions, MLB DFS questions. Questions at theoryofdfs.com. James will be on Monday. Then we'll be going over stuff on concerning leverage on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday's opening day. And I'll be on Grinders Live in the morning. Right? We always get preempted the pregame show. Typically on Wednesdays and Thursdays when there's an early slate. I mean, I'm on those shows, so it'll just be me, Dean, and whoever. I think Kirk Dees is going to be on. So join us then. And then it's going to be just like 6 months of baseball. We're going to get sick of baseball after, I don't know, a month or two. Be like, oh, when is football coming back? But whatever. So tune in tomorrow, 45 minutes before slate lock time for MMA Crunch Time. I'll be on. Smash everything on your screen on your way out the door. Just smash everything. You'll eventually hit that like button. That's fine. And I'll be back next week because I'm here answering your DFS strategy questions like I always do Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.